Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm Neil Manthorpe, and over the next hour or so, I'll be joined, as always, by my co-host, former England fast bowler Steve Harmison, to look back at another terrific round of county championship action. We'll discuss, amongst many other things, a great week for Haseeb Hameed, Don Bess and Matt Parkinson, and ask why Surrey are struggling so far this season. As well as that, we'll be joined by Durham's run machine David Bellingham, and we'll head to India to discuss whether the IPL should be continuing or should it be stopped in the face of the rampant COVID-19 epidemic or pandemic. You're listening to The Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Army, an awful lot to get through. 14 centuries, 6 5 wicket hauls. But let's begin with the bad news story, and that is Surrey. The form of the county championship rich boys is a cause for real concern. I mean, they're being beaten and being beaten badly.
Yeah, it's hard to try and put your finger on where Surrey's at and what's happening. Your former house his landlord, Mr. Batty and Vikram Solanki and director of cricket Alex Stewart must be scratching their heads at. I don't think there's sometimes in the county championship, you just could come on a bad pitch. You could come up against a good bowling attack. But this is a side full of stars. And when I mean full of stars, this has got the game they've just played against Middlesex. That's 613 international caps between them, 248 test caps between them on that pitch. I think a lot of the Surrey members would have been expecting a hell of a lot better from a one to five, which is Burns, Stoneman, Amler, Pope and Folks, who have played a lot of international cricket and been around a lot of international dressing rooms. So something's not working, and that's obviously plain to see from the outside. How the change and rectify that? Well, I'd like to think from a Surrey point of view and a Surrey members point of view, if you're thinking about it, you know, class is permanent and it will come through, but they're going to have to come through very, very quickly because at this minute in time, Surrey are really, really struggling, and they are, you know, they're staring down a barrel of not even being in the second division, the second tier. They could be in the bottom tier when the county championship splits. And, you know, fair play to Middlesex. Did they play extremely well, or did Surrey just roll over and let them go? 10-wicket win is emphatic, absolutely an emphatic win. And, you know, there'll be some scratching the heads between Batty, Solanki and Alex Stewart.
Surrey in fifth place in Group 2, just in case people have forgotten or Surrey supporters have expunged the memory from the scores from their memory. 154 all out and 130 all out. Ollie Pope made starts in both innings. Haseeb Hameed, the big name signing, made a four-ball pair. I mean, he made a first baller and a third ball naught. Middlesex, 268 and 18 without loss. Sam Robson made 95. I mean, it's hard even to find a claw to stretch to cling to for Surrey supporters.
Yeah, and the one positive out of this, and we've mentioned them a couple of times on this show, we've seen them a little bit in the winter, and you know, Reece Topley's not that old, he's only about 26, 27. The big tall left armer, he got 4 for 56. So if there's any positives come out of it, it was Reece Topley. I mentioned first week of the collective manners about Hashim Amla and my experiences with somebody like Shivnarain Chanderpaul. When Chanderpaul came over, he inspired the young players to play well by getting volume and volume of runs. We had Shiv for 3 years. We won the French Provident and then we won the championship two years in a row. So that's what I was hoping from Amla. And it hasn't come. It hasn't come about. But fair play to Middlesex. Sam Robson again. It's a good score. Again, we'll see it. I'll see it many, many times over the course of these next few weeks up until June the 2nd when England Test Match Series starts. We have a horrible way in this country of discarding players at a young age who get better from the age of 25 onwards. And I think Sam Robson, I hope Sam Robson's one of them, because he made his Test Match debut and he seems to be pushed, cast aside. For every Sam Robson, there is maybe three or four of them. So, you know, fingers crossed, with England struggling at the top of the order, 1, 2 and 3, Sibley being injured, Burns not knowing where, you know, where the runs are coming from, and Crawley got a few runs this week, you know, there'll be pressure on them. The likes of Robson, Bracey, Adam Lyde scoring a few. They're knocking on the door. So, you know, good on the players for keeping putting pressure on the Test Match openers and number three.
Okay, let's change subject and move down to Hove now, where Yorkshire were bowled out for 150 in the first innings. With George Garton, there's a lot to like about him. I must say, on the first day, knocked over Joe Root and finished with 3 for 25. But Yorkshire came back and to win that game by 48 runs. It was a terrific fight back. Don Best took 6 for 53 in the fourth innings as Sussex were bowled out for 186. There was a lot that that stood out, but the character, I'm a real sucker for big, important partnerships for the 8th, 9th and 10th wickets. And Willie and Olivier, Dwan Olivier, added 51 in Yorkshire's second innings of 305. I always think it says a lot about the character and determination of a team when bowlers make runs, Harmy, just like you used to.
It does, yeah. And you know, you're always there for a good time and not a long one. If your good time is good, you've got a great chance, because how many games are won by, you know, are swayed by that, you know, that 50-60 run partnership down the order, demoralises the opposition. Then all of a sudden, straight away, you put 50 on for the last wicket. And then, you know, Sussex were 64 for 2, 80 for 3. You think, well, that's the momentum shift has gone in our favour. And I agree with what you say about Young Garton. There is a lot to like about his, you know, his action. You know, he moves the ball, he swings the ball, which is handy if you're, you know, from that point of view. Ollie Robinson, again, impressed for me. He could feature in this first Test match. I think he'll definitely be in the squad for the first Test match against New Zealand on the 2nd of June. He only bowled 7.5 overs, 2 for 17, probably because Yorkshire got bowled out for 150 in the first innings. And then second innings, again, he's in the wickets again. You know, a good long spell, 24 overs, 3 for 73. So there's a lot to like about Robinson as well. He's leading wicket taker in this country so far with 20 wickets, in an average of, I think he's got an average of 14. So I think he'll be knocking on the door. He'll probably impress the England captain. Joe Root, 5 in each innings. I'm not bothered about Joe Root. He's class. He's brilliant. He's our best player. So, you know, he's there just to get some time in the middle. We'd like a little bit more, I'm sure. But you watch Joe Root the week before that first Test match. Whoever he's playing against on a flat wicket, I think Joe Root will then cash in, because at the minute, I think he's just having some nice time, relaxing time with his teammates and his mates at Yorkshire. But very, very good win for Yorkshire. It was an important win as well, because we've said many, many times before, and we'll come on to it in a bit, the margins now for winning and the draw is 8 points. You know, even if you draw a few games and you win a couple of games, you're still in the mix. Where before, I think it's showing the pitches are better because of that. It wasn't like 4 points for a draw and then the pitches were poor. Pitches have been good, whether it's been the draw, 8 points for the draw, or because of how dry the summer's been so far. I think time will tell as the summer goes on. But a fantastic win for Yorkshire.
We keep talking about the possibility of there being a spot in the top three for England in that first test against New Zealand, maybe even two spots. Let's keep an eye on Adam Lyth. I mean, there are a lot of contenders. I must say, there are a lot of top order batsmen scoring runs. Adam Lyth made an important 66 in the second innings there, 100 runs in the game, almost 500 in the championship in the first three games. So is he coming up on the rails on the outside?
Yeah, I hope he's in the conversation. I hope he's in the conversation. Left-hander, you know, he was in part of the Ashes 2015 squad. I think he was when he brought in and made his debut. I played alongside Live. He's a great kid, fantastic character, good guy to have around, and somebody he's got that Yorkshire grit about him. And again, I go back to Sam Robson. And I'll see it many times, probably over the course of the next 5 or 6 weeks. You know, these players get picked very, very early. They don't get looked at again, because they seem to get discarded, and sometimes a lot of occasions they're actually better players when they're being discarded. And Adam Lyne looks as though he's having a very, very good season. 488 runs at an average of 97. Another big score this week, along with one or two others, will really say to the selectors, we might have to have a look at 1-2-3 for England, which haven't been firing.
Okay, from Hove to Edgbaston, Warwickshire, top of the table clash this against Essex, and a really, really rousing win for the Bears, with Rob Yates making 120 in that run chase in the fourth innings, making 256 for three. Indian Kanuma Vihari finally got some runs for Warwickshire as well, made a good 52. Simon Harmer held Essex together in their second innings with an 82 not out. But how about this? Went wicketless in the fourth innings, bowling 32 overs, none for 88. I mean, he never goes wicketless, let alone the fourth innings of a four-day game. That's a real achievement for Warwickshire. And as I said, particularly for Rob Yates, winning by seven wickets.
Yeah, it was a fantastic win. And, you know, when you look at the scores and the pitch looks as though it, you know, you would expect it to turn big time. So Simon Harmer not to pick up any wickets. But he also, again, you say you like lower order runs. You know, a huge lower order runs for Warwickshire in this game. Danny Briggs, 66, batting number nine, and Mills, Craig Mills, 25. A huge partnership down there for the ninth wicket, nearly 70-odd, which was, for me, it was the turning point in the game, because, again, you know, all of a sudden, you look at Essex come out 24 for three, 25 for four, a little momentum shift and a game changer in that. And again, another one on the England radar and England watch. Ollie Stone, 4 for 89 in the first innings, 2 for 65 in the second innings. And then again, another one with Ollie Robinson. I think he'd be close to knocking on that England door to being in the 13, 14 man squad for the first test match, if we're not in a biosecure bubble for that first test against New Zealand.
Oliver Hunt and Dolby and Ollie Stone also took 4 wickets apiece in that Essex first innings of 295. But Warwickshire then go top of the table in Group 1. Essex, interestingly, Worcestershire are in second place there, having not won a game. Essex have won a game, and that's courtesy of the 8 points for a draw. Quickly, Harmy, your thoughts on that 8 points for a draw? I don't know whether you can explain it quickly. Is it controversial or is it just a strong talking point?
I think it's a strong talking point to potentially, if you just rewind back a little bit in India, when the England captain was interviewed and talked about pitches and need to play on better pitches in county cricket, because everything gets blamed on county cricket. If we lose the Ashes, it's county cricket. If we win the Ashes, Sheffield Shields, the Aussies say we've got to play with the Duke ball in Sheffield Shields. So it swings and roundabouts every time that comes around. But when England captain mentions that we need to play on better pitches, we need our players to play four-day games and into the latter part of four-day for pressure, I think 8 points for a draw is something that comes with that. Don't know if it's the better pitches because of the weather or because it's 8 points for a draw that you don't have. When it's 4 points for a draw, you can potentially risk a bit playing on green seamers to go and win games, because if you lose one, well, you win the next two, it's better than three draws. So I think when it comes to that point of view, I think because of the 8 points for the draw, we're looking at better pitches, which produces better cricket, produces better cricketers, puts pressure on players in the fourth tier, fitness in bodies, making sure bowlers can bowl reverse swinging balls, spinning, you know, batsmen against spinners, spinning pitches. All that comes possibly with the better points total for a draw. I think it's that way. That's the way I think it looks like. And hopefully better cricket will come out. And what it has done, time will tell. But it seems as though so far this season, there's been a lot of runs scored. There's been a lot of good games of cricket, fantastic games of cricket we've seen on the ECB stream. And if it's 8 points for a draw is helping that, well, then fingers crossed it's here to stay, because, you know, we don't want to see too many green seamers finishing 2.5 days. You know, you think, because, you know, the discrepancy between the points of winning, losing and drawing, fingers crossed that we're getting better cricket because of that.
Let's have a quick look at what was a top of the table clash between Hampshire and Gloucestershire, which finished in a draw. You've got to love a bit of, it's not just runs from numbers 9, 10 and 11 that pleases me. It's time in the middle. And Gloucester hanging on for dear life with numbers 10 and 11, Josh Shaw and Dom Goodman batting for 17 overs to hang on. Hampshire made 470. They dominated the game, to be fair. Gloucestershire 320 and following on, finishing on 197 for 9. So Hampshire take the bragging rights, but not the points, Harmy.
No, not the points. And for me, this is a great game of cricket. Absolute fantastic game of cricket. One team dominating, other team not giving an inch at all. We talked about in the first section about 8 points for a draw, better pitches, pressure going into the last day, pressure going into the last hour. Well, this was it in abundance. Huge. Hats off to Hampshire. They've got a mammoth total, an absolute mammoth total. 470 is a lot of runs. Ian Holland, look at this kid's story. Australian born, plays for the USA, number 8-9 batsman a couple of years ago, bowling 80 mile an hour. He's now turned himself into a top order batsman, opens the bat, and he's got 335 runs at average of 111. He got another 100 this week. Tom Allsop again, another 100. James Vince got a 50. And you think, you know what, making for Gloucester follow on, they've got a good chance of winning and going 3 from 3 here. But the way it just seems, the way that Richard Dawson before, and I think Ian Harvey now instilled the steel in this Gloucester side. This Gloucester side, yes, there might be not be one of the fancied counties from the big test grounds, but there's some good players in this Gloucester side. Talked about James Bracey, who's been away with England. Ryan Higgins again gets wickets. He got another 4 to go with 73 in the first innings. Bracey got 65. And then you bowl a team out, follow on. You think, got a chance here with a bowling lineup of Mohammed Abbas, Kyle Abbott, international player Liam Dawson, international player Mason Crane, and your numbers 10 and 11. 116 balls, 17 overs for the last wicket in, hold on, for an 8-point draw. It's, if Gloucester manage to get themselves in where they are at this moment in time, which is second in the table, if they can manage to get themselves into that Division One, not only is a massive achievement, but actually that last wicket partnership could be the difference between being in Division One or Division Two when the Bob Willis Trophy stops after seven or eight weeks.
Right, time for you to have a chat to David Beddingham, who born and bred in South Africa, schooled in Cape Town at Wynberg Boys High, which is the same school that Jacques Callis went to. Their cricket ground has been renamed the Jacques Callis Oval. But David Beddingham played for Western Province, now has thrown in his hat full-time with Durham, courtesy of a parental British passport. Actually, I think it's a grand parental British passport. But he scored 565 runs in just 6 innings this season, averaging 140 with 200s and 250s. And as I mentioned, he became the first Durham player to score over 300 runs in a championship game with his 257 and unbeaten 50 in the declared second innings.
Yeah, it was good. I felt obviously happy with the performance. I was upset that we couldn't win, unfortunately, but I think I've heard some scary stories about Durham itself in April. But the wicket actually played really, really nicely. So, yeah.
Yeah, the wicket, Durham in April, I promise you, David, having 18 years of it, it's the weather's not normally that pleasant. And normally there's more chance of bowlers getting to 60 wickets than a batsman getting anywhere near 1,000 runs by the end of May and early June. Manners mentioned about, you know, only playing 4 or 5 games last year. How was the preparation coming into this season? COVID, but also preparing in an English winter?
Well, I think the 3 months from October to December in Cape Town helped me quite big time. I thought last year, I wasn't depressed, but I felt like COVID, I struggled with COVID. Like, it was the first time I was away from my family and friends and that sort of thing. So the three months with family and friends in Cape Town was very important. And then came back, start of Jan, and we trained hard. A lot of running in the cold, a lot of gym work, netting and that sort of thing. But I think the biggest factor that helped me was maybe my girlfriend moving over like 2.5 months ago. It's just nice to have someone like that you know really well, and then there's tough days you can chat to about it and that type of stuff, yeah.
And in a place which is, it's a beautiful part of the world. It's miles away from everywhere, as you'll find out when you're going on bus trips to everywhere in England. But it is a fantastic place to play cricket. And, you know, records are few and far between when it comes to Durham because of the history only being, you know, first class since 1992. Rushy's very close to being the Durham's leading wicket taker when he takes over from Graham Onion soon. But you broke a record yourself, 300 first-class runs in a championship match, something that nobody's done before. I think Martin Love was the closest. And the likes of Dale Benkenstein, Michael DiBenito, and Shivnarine Chanderpaul, Paul Collingwood. That must be something special to come, hit the ground running with a record like that.
Yeah, it was quite cool. I didn't really know about the record, but it was nice to break it. I think they are there to be broken, so I was happy about that. But like I said, it would have been nice if we could have won, but unfortunately the Derbyshire batters played quite well and the wicket was quite timid and quite flat in the end.
Yeah, your first class average of 45. I've seen you play maybe a bit more than some Durham supporters have in Cape Town. Just introduce yourself a little bit, your background, and you have an ancestral British passport, don't you?
Yeah, I started Wyman Boys, obviously, and then I went to Western Province and played in the amateur setup there. And then from that, I went to study in Stellenbosch, then played a couple games for Borland, and then was lucky enough to get contracted by the Cape Cobras. I played there for 2 years or 1.5 years, and then somehow got in contact with Marcus North or Northie, and And we spoke well, and I liked what he said. So lucky enough, I was able to play as a local last year through my ancestral visa, because both sets of grandparents were born in London, I think.
Cape Town crowd senior. How are you looking forward to playing in front of the Durham crowd? Because I do, and yeah, from past experience in Championship, you do get a decent crowd watching Durham when they're playing whites, but under the lights and playing 2020 later on in the summer, Durham do get a good following.
I don't think I've ever played because in Cape Town or in South Africa, the first class games, there's literally maybe 5 to 10 people in. So I think it would be really nice to have them watching the first class stuff. I heard they're very knowledgeable people and they give you a bit of stick if you're not doing well. So that's quite, it's just exciting with that type of stuff around the corner, hopefully, yeah.
And this week you've got Warwickshire, but potential having Mark Wood in the Durham side. He played for Ashington this week just to get a little bit of a loosener. But how great would it be for the Durham lads to have an England player in their lineup and potentially some little bit of firepower that potentially could get you over the line if you get yourselves in a winning position?
Well, we just faced him now in nets, and I'm glad he's an outside against us. But John, it's really exciting. I think he brings a very different dynamic to the team. I think we've got Rainey, Rashi and Souls who can teach you outside edge and nick you off and that type of thing. But I just think he brings a different dimension to the team, and thankfully he's on our side rather than theirs.
Are you superstitious? How do you feel about being on a crest of a wave like this with this kind of form? Do you just carry on riding the wave or do you... Do you think there's a failure just around the corner?
I feel I used to be very superstitious with putting on my left pad first and that sort of thing, but I've tried to stop that. But Joe, I'm just gonna try and play the same way, and if it works, it works. I think like there's no point of changing because you square runs. I just think there will be failures around the corner, but hopefully my consistency can improve and there'll be less failures than success, basically. Yeah.
Thanks to David Bellingham there. And Durham, again, Manners, just couldn't get over the line.
This is the second or third game in a row where if they had been able to get the 10 wickets in the fourth innings, they would have had themselves definitely third, possibly second, and staring down a barrel or staring at Warwickshire, who are flying in group one. But, you know, it was a good game at Derbyshire. Durham had all the running, but just not being able to get over the line. Yeah, Matt Critchley again, impressed with the bat. You know, 100-odd in the game to go with what he's, you know, what he's done so far this season, 450 runs. Chris Rush with 6 for in the second innings. Not far from now from Graham Onions. I think Graham Onions, 519 first-class wickets for Durham. The record all-time for Durham, which is bizarre when you look at every other county's records, like 1,500 or 2,000. And Norman Gifford was my first coach, who got like 2,500 first-class wickets. Remember, Durham have only been going since 1992. So it will be a fantastic achievement when Chris goes past them, possibly next week or definitely the week after. And Durham are in a good place and a good place. And David Beddingham, you mentioned there, his history of South African cricket. He's a good addition to Durham County Cricket Club.
They're in sixth place in Group 1, Durham, but I must say they're not playing like a group in a team in last place. I think they've shown better form than Derbyshire and Nottinghamshire. Anyway, last question for you in this section. It's COVID curiosity number 742. Billy Stanlake, the lanky Australian quick, unable to make his Derbyshire debut because he had to serve quarantine, given that the county championship is not classified as elite sport, but the T20 Blast and the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Championship is. So 20-over cricket and 50-over cricket is elite sport, but four-day cricket isn't.
Oh, manners. We have a way in this country of really royally shooting ourselves in the foot or kicking ourselves between the legs. Honestly, this just does not make sense whatsoever. It's like saying, oh, you can come over and you don't have to quarantine to play in the Premier League football, but because you're a championship player, you can't, you know, it's a totally different thing. This is nonsense. This is shocking. Billy Stanlake should have been able to play. I think, and I can be corrected right by either the ECB or Glamorgan fans, I think Manus Labuschagne, who was brilliant for Glamorgan in the Ashes Years County Championship. He was going to potentially play this week for Glamorgan, but I think under the same rules, he's not going to be able to play. For me, elite sport is professional sport, top-level professional sport. And until, you know, we get that right, then again, we keep shooting ourselves in the foot. It would have been a great game for Billy Stanlake to come and play in the Northeast. But when people ask why you love cricket, there's also, on the other side, why people don't love cricket, because there's some stupid things that go on. And this definitely is one of the stupidest things I've heard. 50-over and a 20-over competition is classed as elite. But four-day cricket, especially the way it's played at this minute in time and the way the contest has been so far this season and how good it's been, is not classed as elite sport. That's just bizarre, mate.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with the Institute of Cricket still to come. We'll continue reviewing round 3 of the championship and discuss good weeks for both Haseeb Hamid and Matt Parkinson.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2 as we look back at round 3 of the County Championship. If you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up, you can always listen back on the podcast, which is now available on the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. Lancashire beat Kent by an innings and 5 runs. And once again, my pet favourite subject, lower order runs. And I believe, I'm told by a reputed statistician, that it's only the second time in Championship history that numbers 8 and 9 have both scored hundreds. Lancashire making 525 with Luke Wood and Danny Lamb making 119 and 125. And they went from 300 odd for 7 to 525. Kent, I think, had the wind taken out of their sails and succumbed to 169 and followed on to make 351 with Daniel Bell Drummond making 114. Zach Crawley made 60 and 36, but otherwise, gee whiz, Kent were just blown away, which I didn't see coming.
No, I didn't see coming. Lancashire seemed as though there was a little bit of transition in their four-day side. Got some fantastic players in there, but like you said, 187 run partnership for the 8th wicket is just absolutely killed Kent. When you mention momentum shifts and things like that, 20 for 3 when Joe Denley was out in the first innings, nowhere back for Kent. And we talked about last week, you know, the pick of the England players. Well, the pick of the England players again this week was probably Matt Parkinson. Got 2 for in the first innings, only bowled 10 overs in the first innings, 2 for 38. But he had a monumental spell, which is great. Absolutely brilliant for the young leg spinner to bowl a lot of overs. He bowled 52 overs in that second in the Kent second innings, getting 7 for 126. And the one thing that he will have been told, I'm sure he did, I hope he did, go and knock on Chris Silverwood's door as he was leaving India after being in the biosecure bubble, mixing drinks and not looking like playing for the best part of 3 months. Gaffer, what do I need to do to get a game for England? And I'm sure Chris Silverwood says, go and bowl overs as a leg spinner and go and take wickets. There might be a little text message from Matt Parkinson to his big boss in England and say, I've done that for you, Gaffer. I'm in good form. You know, don't write me off. Don't write me off for that test match series against New Zealand or the one day series coming up. So good on him. Well done, Matt Parkinson. And well done to Lancashire, because that is a very, very, very good win.
Same could be said for Don Bess, of course. Just a reminder that he took 6 for 53 as well.
He
for
did.
Yorkshire against Sussex.
He also said, Manners, which was interesting, and I can relate to this as a personal experience. I've been there many times. You know, talking with experience from somebody who was number one ranked bowler in the world to bowl the first ball of an Ashes series to second slip, the worst ball in the history of the game. I think I've seen a mixed emotions throughout my whole career. And when Don Bess says, and he went on record and quote, said, at point I hated the game, it is an easy thing to do. It is an easy game to hate, this great game of cricket that we all love to commentate and talk about and play. And there will be times throughout your career that you do hate the game. And Don Bess got to that point and he's hopefully coming out the other side and getting 6 foot down at Sussex this week in front of the England captain. Would have done him, would have done him a lot of good, and I'm pleased for the kid, because the one thing you cannot label with Don Bess is lack of effort, lack of trying, and his will to desire to get better. And I think if he's always got that, he's always got a chance in his career. And you know, fingers crossed, he gets better and better until that sort of end of May, June target when the first Test match is selected.
Right, time to pay due credit to Northants, who chased down 357 for 3. That's a heck of a fourth innings run chase against Glamorgan. Ricardo Vasconcelos making 185, Rob Keogh 126. I mean, that's Northants were up against it at several stages of that game. Glamorgan continued to impress. I mean, at 311 for 5 in the second innings, our old friend or young friend, Kieran Carlson, making 50 in both innings.
But it was Vasconcellos' day. I mean, 185, that's a heck of a run, Chase.
It is a heck of a run, Chase. We had Tim Bresnan on last week about their run, Chase, against a good bowling attack. And this bowling attack at Glamorgan, the Glamorgan bowling attack is a decent attack. Michael Hogan, a very, very good bowler. James Harris moved from Middlesex, I think, to Glamorgan on loan. This is not a bad bowling attack. Fourth day pitch to Chase. 357, just for three, inside new ball territory. They didn't even get to the second new ball. 72.4 overs. And that is a phenomenal achievement and a phenomenal chase. And again, you mentioned young Carlson. He's starting to put some good numbers on the board. 22-year-old, they might unearth a little gem here. He's got 427 runs and six innings so far this season. So hopefully he continues. But a great win. Absolutely brilliant win for Northampton.
Okay, we've mentioned him a couple of times already. Haseeb Hameed, who, he was released by Lancashire, wasn't he? I mean, he made his debut for England as a 19-year-old. And one of your hobby horses is young players who get discarded, picked too early and then discarded too early and then not looked at again. But it looked like his career might be over. But he's a history maker now. I just want to qualify this because there's 635 balls that he faced in making 100 in both innings, 111 and 114 not out. Records only go back of balls faced, only go back to 1997. So there have undoubtedly been some innings in the history of the championship, or some matches that have batsmen have faced more than 635 balls, but that's the most since 1997. Worcestershire, 436. And Notts hung in there, 276 and then 236 for naught. Ben Slater also made 114 not out. It was fairly slow stuff. It was fairly turgid on the last day. But as I said, Haseeb Hameed's made history.
Yeah, and it is. And it's good to see. It's good to see a young player come through adversity. And he's made 100 in each innings. He's not... in any way, shape or form for me, one of the ones that can knock on the selector's door, but he's in the right direction. He's going the right way. A little change of scenery, which is brilliant. It's gone from a big county to another big test ground and county. So fingers crossed, working with Peter Moores, who gets every ounce out of you as a player. You work so hard. If you're prepared to work hard, Peter Moores will work hard with you and get the best for you. And fingers crossed that move does work, because we've seen in India, this kid's got talent. He's got talent. If anything, he's got low hands, which probably isn't suited to the English style, but a ball bouncing Australian type pitches or the West Indies or South Africa. But in India, he showed he's got serious, serious talent. Good hands, good movement. And the one thing he's got on his side, he's got time. He's still a kid. He's still a young lad. So let's not write the kid off so too early. Fingers crossed. This is, he got to rock bottom, going to Notts. Fingers crossed he goes in the right direction and puts some runs on the board that by the end of the season, he could potentially knock on the selector's door and say, well, there might be a winter place somewhere in the world for me, which will just keep developing my career going forward. So, good on him. Well done. Young Libby as well. Jake Libby got 100. And he, again, another one of, the players that isn't recognised, the sort of test match player, these big players that we talk about. But he's climbing the charts as well. He's got 320 runs so far this season in only four innings, averaging 100. He got 180 last week. So, Worcester, again, will be happy with the way he's performed. But another draw. Another 8 points for a draw, Manners.
Yeah, it's a draw isn't what it used to be. It's worth a bit more than it used to be. Somerset finally won their second game, won the first, lost the second, won the third with an easy victory over Leicestershire, to be honest. It really was a fairly straightforward game, isn't it? With one team just better in all departments than the other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've made a joke a couple of times of Leicester. I'm going to leave them alone. I'm going to look at the other side and see how well two England bowlers have bowled in this game. Craig Overton, again, probably a bit like Parkinson saying to Chris Silverwood and the management team in India, what do I need to do to get into test contention? And it's to take wickets. And he got 3 for 93, Craig Overton, in 17 overs. Very good economy rate in the first innings. And then he gets a five for in a second innings, five for 25 off 18 overs. So he got overs under his belt, got wickets, which was brilliant to see, as well as Jack Leach. You know, another 20 overs under Jack Leach's belt in the second innings, seven in the first, got five wickets in the match. And if you put his figures together, what's that? Five for 60, five for 66 off 27 overs. If you had that in a fourth innings or a one innings match from your spinner, that's how many overs you'd look to get. That's a good wicket return. So, you know, signs are good for England spinners. The three spinners that England probably had in contention, which is Best, a five for Parkinson, a five for, and Leach, five for in the match this week. Good signs for England.
So very, very quickly, for those who need reminding of the format of the championship this year, there are three groups of six teams. They all play each other home and away. That's 10 games. At the end of that section of the championship, the top two from each of the three groups goes into Division One. The middle two teams go into Division Two, and the bottom two teams in each group go into Division Three. They carry over the points they've earned against the teams that they progress with, and then they play the other four they haven't played. So it's a 14-game championship. At the moment, Group One is topped by Warwickshire and Worcestershire, with Essex and Notts in second place and third place and fourth place. Group Two, Hampshire and Gloucestershire at top, with Somerset in third place and Middlesex fourth. And Group Three is topped by the Red Rose and the White Rose, Lancashire and Yorkshire in first and second place, with Sussex and Northants in third and fourth. There are some really, really eye-watering numbers of positive COVID-19 cases in India, and they are costing lives. Pat Cummins, of course, was the first to donate some money, $50,000, to help India in their fight against the pandemic, against the virus. He admitted that he said it wasn't much, but hopefully it could help some people. And he urged other players to donate as well. Of course, not everybody was quite as well paid as Pat Cummins. But please don't be cynical about that. If you actually read his statement, then you will know that he is both a gentleman and a sensitive person. And that gesture was really, really sincere. If you feel cynical about it. Other Australians have also left the IPL, but Harmy, just give us your thoughts, first of all. We're going to hear in a moment from our one and only dearly beloved Darren Goff on what he thinks about the IPL and whether it should continue or not. But let's get your thoughts, first of all, can we?
I don't personally think it should carry on. I think it would need to stop for me. You've got to detach the players from the owners and the organisation. The players can make their own minds up. Like, R. Ashwin decided he's going to go home and try and protect his family. The three guys have gone back to Australia. I don't think you can blame the players too much, because they're involved in this. There's a contractual obligation, everything that comes. This, for me, has got to go from above. The hypocrisy of some of the sides of it, because England players walked off mid-match in Sri Lanka and decided they were going home because of their families. Rightly so. Manners, I was in a studio sitting, waiting, listening to your lovely voice, waiting from South Africa, Cape Town, when the series got called off over there. Australia didn't even travel when you were talking about one or two thousand cases. And, you know, we're looking at 350,000 cases daily here. This is serious over in India. And I look at why the Premier League football was stopped, having sat on TalkSport Breakfast Show during that time, and it was stopped for the reasons of our emergency services were needed to cover better things. People were dying. We couldn't have. And the balance between when it started again, having football on every night. Yes, it was great. And I could see why the IPL want to do that. I just can't believe that overweight the emergency services being stretched too much because you will have to have, we're looking at probably 500 people in a bubble, because we're not looking at 22 players. We're looking at squads of 25 each. We're looking at coaching staff. We're looking at owners. We're looking at hangers-on. We're looking at commentators. Everything that goes with that. And for me, I would be uneasy being in there and thinking, you know, this should be done in a different way.
I tell you what, Harmy, I think Goffey says much of the same thing. So let's hear from him.
they need to have a good look at themselves, some of the cricketers around the world. And the reason I say that, when people are dying around them, and this is not 800, 900 a day who are being confirmed, this is 350,000 a day that keeps rising and rising and rising. And people will say, well, this being on TV is keeping people in their households. It's not. You have got so many people per each team. And if you look at the cricket grounds, they've also got all the owners and their hanger-oners who are with them at the ground as well, all in a enclosed environment. Kevin Peterson texted yesterday, he'd had 6 COVID tests in 7 days.
Wow.
So they've got people there administering all that. They've got ambulance crews at all these games because it is a big high-profile tournament with big high-profile cricket names who are paid a lot of money to be there. So they have to be on duty. Those resources would be better helping India get through this crisis that's going on at this moment in time with millions of deaths so far. And the reason I say that, there's a few reasons. The Aussies called off the South Africa tour because there were 1,000 cases per day. Well, in India, there's 350,000 cases per day. Cool. Yet some Australians are still there. A few have left. I think Ty, Zampa and Richardson have gone. But where's the rest of them who were adamant they didn't want to go to South Africa? What about the England players that were desperate to get on from Sri Lanka during COVID because it took off in England? The numbers were rising and they wanted to be around their families because they were concerned. Well, they're all still over in India playing in the IPL and some of them have got their family there. But they've still got a lot of family members over here. And they'll be worried about them in India, in the heartbeat of COVID at this current time. They should be coming home. England, they had 2 people in South Africa in a hotel that got COVID. So England packed their bags and flew home on private jet and cancelled that tour. Yet, 8 England players are still over in the IPL. Commentators still over in the IPL. Dominic Cork, Graham Swan, Nick Knight, Kevin Peterson. It's unreal, but it's still going on. Yes, I'm watching it, but I cannot understand with everything that's going on in India at this moment in time, that tournament is taking place with the numbers we are talking about. This is not 200, 300 a day. This is 350,000 diagnosed every day. There's too much. This tournament has got to end now. The PSL got cancelled and they're going to go back in June to finish that tournament. What is different about the IPL, except for it is the biggest contract media rights the world's ever seen?
I forgot to mention, by the way, that Goffey has just been named as a non-executive director of the PCA, which sounds a little like he gets a seat on the board but doesn't have to take responsibility for anything.
That's a brilliant role for Goffey. That's a brilliant role for Darren, and congratulations to him. And well done to the PCA for bringing another player. You know, former very, very good player, opinionated on the day. But, you know, one thing about the PCA, you're going to have to watch. If they're going to invite him to a test match, their bar bill is going to be massive because he's not coming. He's not coming to drink water and eat your sandwiches. He's coming for a good afternoon. Only joking, Darren. It's great. Fantastic to see you. And is there anybody better than Darren Goff talking about life and sport? I don't think there is. And the PCA will be a better place for Darren being involved in it.
And finally, a look ahead to next week's fixtures, the fourth round of the championship. I must say, the one that leaps out to me, not for the reasons I thought it would a couple of weeks ago, but Surrey-Hampshire, yeah. Because Surrey have been in, as we've mentioned, dreadful form, and Hampshire have been in super form, and they're top of their group. So I'm looking forward to that one. Which ones do you like the look of? Durham, Warwickshire? Yeah.
Surrey-Hampshire has to be the title one, the top one, because of what you've just said, Manners. Hampshire win, and they're probably in Division One for the next round of the championship. Surrey lose, and they're in Division Three, and that would be huge for Alex Stewart and the coaching staff there. That it's a big week for Surrey County Cricket Club. Somerset Middlesex is going to be an intriguing one. Jack Leach going back to Taunton. Getting closer, bowling more overs with good. Mark Wood back playing meaningful cricket against Warwickshire. That could be a big week for Durham. You know, with Beddingham in the form he's in, having Mark Wood back could be massive. Broad back playing in the local derby, Derbyshire against Notts in the Midlands derby there. So some very, very good games. are we going to see Jofra Archer soon? I think he started bowling again. So fingers crossed, probably a week too early to see Jofra, but it'll be nice to get him back. And Gloucester, another chance for James Bracey to stake a claim for a top three England spot against Leicester, who have had their struggles. So it'd be an interesting week all round.
Absolutely loved the first three rounds of the Championship. There was a lot of cynicism, wasn't there? And a lot of pessimism, negativity about the fact that it was so early in the season. Lots of speculation that anybody that could bowl with a little bit of nibble or a little bit of swing on the medium paces would be knocking teams over for 120. Hasn't happened at all. It's been a cracking start to the Championship.
Man, as it has, it's been great. The pitches, whether it's been because I'm actually sitting and it's raining for the first time in about 6 weeks up at the Northeast. Cricket groundsmen and golf courses are over the moon to see the heavens open. Maybe it's because of it's been so dry and it's been good for the surfaces. Maybe it's the 8 points has been a draw. But the one thing, again, I'll congratulate the ECB on. Their streaming service is absolutely brilliant. We can all see, as members, as former players, see our young players, our old players, our players, our England players, all on our TV screens or our iPads or whatever. And it's brilliant. It's been a fascinating 3 weeks. And fingers crossed it carries on, because the way this is going, it's going to give the new selection panel a massive headache on picking that team for the first test match come June. And that is brilliant for England going into what is 5 test matches against India, 2 test matches against the best team in the world in New Zealand, and the Ashes later on in the year. It's been a fascinating 3 or 4 weeks.
Brilliant. Thanks, homie. Same time, same place next week. You've been listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 and our review of round 3 of the County Championship. If you've missed any of the show or you wish to catch up on previous episodes, you can listen back to the podcast, available now on the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.